Yeah. There is a sound that is preceding the move of what's about to take place. There's a sound. There is a sound. It's a distinctive sound, but only the church will hear it. Only the church will hear it. There's a distinctive sound that is going forth, that those that are called to holiness will run to it. Those that do not know the holiness of God will run from it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I am removing the prostitutes of Baal. Where the men and women of God have defiled my temple due to the prostitution of a false god and a false prophet. I'm bringing down the altars. And those that have risen because of pride to build the kingdom for themselves, to draw light and glory for themselves, I will destroy, says God. I have drawn the line in the sand. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My body has been buffeted. My body has suffered. My body has come under ridicule and attack. Has come under so much perversion that now my host of angels have been summoned to drive out this foul spirit in the church. And there's a call of repentance, turning away from and connecting once again. To turn away from and to connect once again. By the Spirit of the living God, I will draw all men unto me with a fresh wind, a fresh fire, with fresh oil. This will not be the anointing of old, the anointing that we have once seen. This will not be an outpour of what we once have experienced. It will be an anointing that you've yet to understand. Is deep. But deep calls unto deep. It calls unto deep. The church has been playing around in the shallow end for too long. And he's beckoning us to come into the deeper parts with him. Deep calls unto deep. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I said this before. There's a shift and a move. There's a shift and a move. In the shifting, some that weren't ready for the shift will be flung off. In the move, those that were not connected will miss it. There's a shift and a move. And by the Spirit of God, he's moving. You want to know how God is moving? It's when you begin to see religious folks get mad. Coming against everything that you're doing because religious folks don't like it. Because something different, fresh in you. And God is moving and moving and moving. Don't sit too long or he will pass you by. Because the scripture tells me that when he was walking by, they had to cry out. They had to cry out. How is it that only one got healed? The only one that cried out. We've gotten so used to him being in a place. Oh, there he is again. Oh, there's Jesus again. Oh, there's Jesus again. But in the time that you really need him, he may not come by. Oh, that's a little bit too deep for some of y'all, huh? Oh, God will never leave me like that. So when the flood comes, I'm going to wait on the Lord, and here comes a boat. Now I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. The waters begin to rise. Another boat comes. I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. God's going to work something out for me. The flood even rises above that, and you're up on top of the roof. I'm waiting on God, waiting on God. And God says, I sent you three boats. When are you going to come? You're waiting on God, but God's already done it. I know when I hear from God. I know that when he begins to speak, it should bear witness. Bring your spirit. Then, it'll be said by others. So I expect an email. I expect it. Yeah, even before we even get out of the circle. Oh, here it is. Confirmation. God is speaking. And he's speaking strong. So strong, he's trying to get some people's attention. I'm trying to get your attention. Snooze button. Oh, it's a wake-up call, church. It's a wake-up call. Oh, Jesus, help me. I'm going to say it because people don't like to know about demons. They want to know about them. They're not for real. And the devil's not for real, but I believe in God. And I believe in heaven. God, heaven, devil, hell. God, heaven, angels, devil, hell, demons. They're for real. And if we don't teach you what's going to happen when they meet you face to face and call you by name, what you gonna do then? I don't believe in you. You don't have to believe in me. I'm the one that's been keeping you up at night, getting you all scared for every noise that you hear. It's me. I'm the one giving you all those kind of nightmares so that you don't sleep and you don't get rest, so you don't want to pray, you don't want to read your word. Oh, that hasn't happened to you? Well, yeah, he's for real. But God is everlasting and ever so present in time of need. How many of you have a need right now? I need to pass my star test. You have a need? It's a need. I have a need to get my bank account cleared up. It's a need. I have a need to get child support taken care of. That's a need. I ain't got no shouts in here. Come with me, baby. Come with me. Come with me, baby. Come on. I'll keep it very real for you. People think you come in church, you're going to get 3 points, a sermon, and then you get to go home. If that's all you want from church, that's all you're going to get. But when the getting gets tough, you'll be running right back to church. I'll stay all day if I have to. You know, when you find people at the cross, it's when they're going through. When you don't find people at the cross, everything's cool. But when you go through, you need to be at the cross. And it don't have to be only when the lights are off. Just trying to help. Just trying to help. Trying to. You know why I put the lights down? Some of y'all won't come up here if the lights are up. It's It's like if the lights are on, you don't want to touch the cross. Oh, but you get a report. Yeah. Oh, you got cancer. Give me that whole cross. I'll carry the whole cross. Oh, why is it? And I'm just going to get on my soapbox for a little bit, and hallelujah. I'll get you out of here before this verse. Maybe. How is it and why is it that mega and meta churches no longer have a cross? We got all kinds of screens and all kinds of metal and all these big old theatrics. And where's the old rugged cross? Where's the old rugged cross? That the center of the church is through the cross. And the redemptive power of the cross through the blood of Jesus Christ. You wonder why the church is in so bad of shape. We've taken the cross and God out of the church and brought in all kinds of healing types of yoga, all these types of meditation, all these kinds of stuff that you need to eat this way. Let's not forget the power of the cross. Let's not forget what he did on the cross. It's about what he did, what he accomplished, and he said, it is finished. You build the church around the cross. What he did on the cross was for you. You. It wasn't about how many churches you can plant, how many churches you have, how many deacons and elders and pastors and whatever. It's about Jesus. We have missed it. Didn't I not tell you that I don't care how big my church is, this is the only pulpit I will ever have. My daddy made it for me. This cross will go everywhere I go. We may have a bigger one built, but this cross will go everywhere I go because he tells me in the word, despise not the humble beginnings. Look at my praise team. Despise not the humble beginnings. Yeah. Amen. Despise not the humble beginnings. Amen. Now I want to talk to you about the church, the humble beginnings of the church. That's not the message, so don't even bother looking up here. The humble beginnings of the church started when a man who everybody rejected and didn't want to receive came onto the scene and yielded himself unto another man to be baptized. And then the Spirit of the living God just lighted upon him as a dove. And God speaks from the heavens that everyone heard, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Was there ever a question that any Jewish person would ever say, are you the son of God? You just heard it, knucklehead. God's going to speak from heaven. You're going to deny it was God? That's the problem of the church. That's the problem of the church. It's blatant right before our eyes. God says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And there is no other way to the Father but to me. But yet we want to have all kinds of different things to tantalize your eyes because you're so visual. I got to see things. See things. To get a better understanding. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. That should tell you something. What I'm doing in this season, I'm going to let your eyes see. I'm going to let your ears hear. I'm going to let your heart understand. And I'm going to let your psyche, your mind, grab hold of it. Because my church needs it. My church needs it. If I stay in this prophetic vein and you don't like it, then you don't love God.
The word of God is the prophetic word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written of man to give you the utterances of prophecy of Jesus Christ. We are to never negate the cross. When you take the cross out of the gospel, you negate the sufferings of Christ. We just want the Savior that looks pretty, do we not? We just want the Savior that looks pretty. But we don't want the sufferings to go along with it. So when the sufferings come our way, that's not God. No, that is God. That is God. And when you're about to be locked up, it is God for you to cry out to God. Because I read the scriptures and it tells me about the Apostle Paul, imprisoned with Peter, my soulmate, my brother, Peter. The knucklehead of knuckleheads association. But when they got locked up, there was a sound. There was a sound in that prison. I don't know what prison y'all are in. I don't know what prison bars are around you. But there's a sound that must come forth. And it must come forth from your spirits. You must declare the goodness of God in the midst of your tragedy, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of all your tribulation, in the midst of all of your pain. There must come forth a sound. And in that sound, you may be bound up, you may be in shackles, you may have even been tied to a wall. But they began to sing. There was a sound that came forth that broke open the bars and let go of all the chains, the fetters. And not only that, it brought fear upon those that imprisoned them. A sound comes first. And if you listen closely by the Spirit, there's a new sound being released in the atmosphere. A new sound. A new sound. I can sit with pastors all day long and everybody says, it's something, but I can't put my finger on it. It's something. Every single pastor, they don't know. You know why? Because he's not revealing. Because we'll try to make it be a certain way. What is that way? Just talked about a Sunday, the things of the past. We got to have a tent in order to have a revival. We got to send out postcards to have a revival. And we got to announce it to everybody, we're having a revival. You don't plan a revival. It just breaks forth. Watch this. And when it breaks forth, you don't have a clock either. Had a pastor from India tell me today, we don't have clocks, we have calendars. So then when the calendar changes, we know it's time to change preachers. Oh, you missed it. In other words, they don't stop preaching until the calendar changes. He says, this is not the paper calendar, it's the calendar of God. This says, now it's time to change leaders. Huh. I said, what you said, man? His brother began to pray. I ain't never felt the presence. I told my wife today and Michael, I said, I never felt the presence of God like I felt today. Jeff, I went in shorts, flip-flops, like, whatever, I'm going. If I'm losing my salvation today, I'm going to go comfortable. Some of y'all that know what I'm talking about know. The man began to speak. I took my chanclas off, was on my knees, crying. Power from India. Wait a minute, y'all missing that. It took someone from India to come into a group of leaders of this city to begin to speak and power be released. But only a few felt the power. The others, now you know why I struggle. Y'all, if y'all pray for me on Wednesdays, and I say it every time, pray for me on Wednesdays. Here's the beautiful thing. He began to speak about India and rebuke us in this nation, and nobody knew it. In India, they serve hundreds of gods. Watch this. He said, in India, they're religious, they're spiritual. In America, we're not. You know why? Because it's a freedom and a choice. They don't have a choice over there. You don't have a choice. So when you bring God, oh, they'll listen about your God. They'll listen about your God. But your God has to demonstrate something. You know what's breaking it over there? This man, he wasn't a preacher. He was not preaching. He was just talking, and I'm just crying. Two other people are just weeping. The man next to me, Monty, sitting right next to me, is just like, oh. And I don't know, you know Monty, right? From Baruch. Okay, I always tell you. Anyhow, he's the country boy that is always a jokester. He's sitting right next to me, just weeping with me. The thing is, guys, we've got it too easy here. Yeah. You like the chairs you're in, right? You like the carpet? They have thatching for their churches. And they have dirt for their floor. And they have the seat is the floor. And they don't have enough room for the people. Oh, what? They don't have children's church. They don't have a building. They don't have that. But they can't have enough room in there for the people. Because they're understanding that the God that was introduced to them demonstrated love and power. He says you can have all kinds of gifting and talent and preaching abilities and being a great orator, but if you don't have love, it's a moot point. You can't do nothing. I said, man, you preaching, and I know what you're talking about, getting all excited about things. When he prayed over the pastors, well, your pastor right at his feet crying. Truth at his feet crying. If I could only do just a little portion of what he's done. Just a little portion. How many churches he's birthed in 40 years of ministry? Just someone throw out a number. Way low. Lower. You're low still. 7,000 churches planted. You know what he attributes it to? Love. That was the topic, disciple. He says, but you don't disciple to teach. You disciple to love. Here's the thing. Watch this. This is what he said. And then this the whole thing we've been talking about in that meeting. Discipleship. He says, all of y'all have some sort of inclination about discipleship, but discipleship means discipline. Discipline. The people receiving it need discipline to receive. The one discipling needs to be disciplined to love. So that the one that's receiving the information, impartation, needs to feel the love to receive the message. Discipline. Out of those 7,000 churches, how many of them left him? Is it 500. Watch this. Because they went independent. They just went independent. Still doing the work of God. And he says, out of the 6,500 churches that I have that have been planted, the ones that hurt him the most, the 500 that left. Because he poured in. That's what he's telling the pastors today. Because you take time. You give, and you give. It's like, man, that's powerful. So, here we go. So, you got 6,000. He goes, no, that was 40 in my 40 years in ministry. This man's the 70-something years old. He asked God to challenge him. Challenge me, God. I need to be challenged. I need to set a goal. Give me the number. So he went to the book of Joshua. 7 times around the wall. 7 trumpets. 7 times they shouted. 7 times. 7, 7, 7, 7, 7. He said the Lord gave him that number to plant that many churches. 70,000 churches. So, you know all of us by this time, because he just like y'all are looking at me like this, we're looking at him like that. Well, did you meet your goal? He says, no.
My goal was to do that before 2012. So you didn't make it? He goes, no. In 2012, I did 7,778 churches. He superseded every time. What I'm trying to tell you guys is that we need to get beyond all of this. We need to see if we negate the cross, we negate the power of God, we're going to miss everything. We're going to miss it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss it. There is something more powerful, more demanding, and more than just, it's Wednesday, I got to go Bible study, got to. If you have that attitude, I got to, don't come. Because you're not going to receive. Stay home. If you're hungry, watch this. I love my mama's cooking. But if my mama cooks me my favorite meal and I'm not hungry, will I eat? I don't care how good of a cook you are. If they're not hungry, they're not going to eat. God's been giving you fresh. We should be eating. But what happens is, and he said this, he goes, the people leave your churches and they'll go to the internet or they'll go to the websites, they'll go to the TV, they'll go to another church just because they want more. Because they weren't happy with what you gave them. He goes, they'll do that here. They won't do that over there. He says, here, it's about y'all's programs. Over there, it's about what God wants to do, what he wants to say, and we do. Pastor, you don't know, but I, this is my only day off. I only have Sundays off. Much less, I ain't going to see you on Wednesday because, you know, it's basketball season. Being very facetious about it, but it's true. It's true. We work to get something in return, do we not? Did not God do everything already? And all he asked for us to do in return is to love him and to love our neighbors. That was the great commandment that he gave. That's what he did. So all these other people and all these other pastors, I love them. They're trying to figure out how to disciple. And it's simple. If you love God first, you'll learn how to love yourself secondly. You can't expect to love your neighbor if you don't even love yourself, much less not love God. It's not real difficult. If you love God, you'll learn to love yourself. You'll love your neighbor. Josh, come play. I'm not even going to get into that. I've been asking God to speak. We need to hear what God is going to say. Not just another prophetic word. Not just another tickling of the ear. Not just another goosebump. But a real, bona fide word from the Lord. That's what we need. But we have to position ourselves to hear. How you position yourself is in prayer. Now watch this. In prayer, in the book of Kings, 1 Kings, when Elijah tells Obadiah, go tell Ahab that the Lord said he's going to send rain on the earth. Obadiah said, wait a minute. What have I done? How have I sinned or wronged you that my life will be taken? Obadiah was scared. Watch this. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, said, go show yourself to Ahab. That's all he said. Go show yourself to Ahab and tell him I'm going to send rain. That's all he said for him to do. But if you read the story about that, he goes to Ahab, and this is what takes place. He calls on the prophets of Baal. You know the story.
All he said is, go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send the rain. But he goes to Ahab, calls on all the prophets so that he can slay all the prophets to prove that God is God. Ahab was right there watching the whole time. The rain didn't start. Did not the word say, go show yourself to Ahab and tell him I will send the rain? He showed himself to Ahab. The rain didn't come. The prophet went on and killed all those other prophets, false prophets, made a mockery of his gods. God licked up the water in the sacrifice. But all God told him to do is show yourself to Ahab. That's it. Did the rain come? No. He now leaves and goes back to the mountain with his servant Gehazi and begins to pray. Here's what I want to tell you. This is how you get in position to hear. You get in position in prayer. The Bible says that the prophet sat down, put his head between his knees, and began to pray. It's a prayer in a position of birthing. He showed himself to God. I mean, to Ahab. God didn't send the rain like God said he was going to do. Don't you find that strange? But he made the prophet go and be still. Get into the position of birthing. Here's something I want to share with you. Have you ever walked into or seen, I know there's youngsters in the room, a birth, a natural birth take place? Okay, the mother is vulnerable, correct? Very vulnerable. Here's what the Spirit of God is saying. In your time of doing what I told you to do, you're going to become very vulnerable, vulnerable in the time that what I've sent you to do. You're going to become vulnerable. And all of your glory, if you would, is going to be seen. Your nakedness will be exposed. Pay attention now. Your shame that you once had has to leave because you're like, get this thing out. You're going to go through some pain. But more importantly, the shame that you once had of not being seen is not going to matter. What you would be so concerned about being covered up has to be uncovered. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some things that you feel that need to be hidden get exposed. And what begins to take place is God is saying, if you would just stay in that position of prayer so you can birth this thing, even though I said, just show yourself to him and I'll send the rain. The prophet did exactly what God said to do, and the rain didn't come yet. The rain didn't come until he made himself vulnerable before his enemy. Made himself very vulnerable to the people around him, much less his own servant. You hear me? The one that watched him call down fire from heaven, killed and just brutally killed all the prophets. But now this man is vulnerable to say, thus saith the Lord, and nothing happened. God is putting you in a position of vulnerability, and the church has to pray through. And as the church prays through, we will hear a new sound. We will hear a sound of rain. The rain represents a cleansing and a washing away of the old. There's something fresh that is coming. You've got to be ready for it, or you'll miss it. Or you'll miss it. Stay in position, even though everything is being exposed. As everything gets exposed, stay in position. It's uncomfortable. It's painful. It's nerve-wracking. And it's to the point that you don't want anybody to see, but yet all to see. It hurts. because you got to be in position. But as long as you stay in position, God will bring to you what you've desired. What you've desired. He's made you vulnerable. Sometimes you feel like some things just got uncovered. And in that position, you can't even move. You don't even have the strength to run. You don't even have the strength to stand. He's putting you in a position to pray through so you can hear the Spirit and the fresh new sound. That the servant kept going back and forth. See nothing. I'll see nothing. Go again. See nothing. Go again. I don't see nothing. Go again. I know what God said. Go again. I don't see nothing. Go again. I heard God. Go again. I don't see nothing. My faith is dwindling, but go again. I know I heard God. How is this going to change? How am I going to get past this circumstance? How am I going to see this mountain, this obstacle be removed? How am I going to see to know that I heard? Go again. And all his servant ever did was obey. I don't understand what happened to my master. What happened to the prophet that just did miraculous signs? What happened? Prophet, I don't see nothing, prophet. I don't see nothing. Go again. Each time he went, can you imagine what it did to the prophet? When the report came back, no change. Nothing has changed. I'm believing, God, I heard you, but nothing has changed. What do I do? I feel like I'm out here uncovered, naked before you, before all, to see a nation that watches what you're going to do. I can't even move because the pain is so severe. I can't even stand up because there's no strength in me to stand anymore. What do? I just stay in this position and it feels like shame. And all I can do is have my head between my legs in shame, but pressing and pressing. When? But on the seventh time, he sees a cloud the size of a man's hand that did not look like rain, just a glimpse. Sometimes we got to press through everything we're going through. And all the pain and disgrace and the hurt and disappointments, we got to get in that position. But the little sign that he gives shows you I didn't leave you or I didn't leave your family. That what I spoke shall come to pass. But you have to get in position. Get in position. Make yourself vulnerable. Expose yourself for all to see. What is your God going to do now? Is he going to come through? Or are you going to stay on that medication? Are you going to stay in that poverty mentality? Are you going to stay barely having enough? Are you going to stay being an alcoholic, a drug addict, a prostitute? Are you going to stay in that mess? But then all of a sudden, there's a fresh rain. There's a fresh wind that is coming. And it begins to bring a cleansing into that territory. And it begins to rid of all of the drought, the dry seasons of your life. Begins to wash away the contracts that were set on your head to try to take you out. It washes it away. And everything that the enemy did to keep you from getting what was rightfully yours, it begins to wash away all of that ink. Because no longer are you bound to what the enemy has decreed. Because this rain is washing everything away. It's washing the slate clean. You never settle for what you think that you're supposed to have. You don't settle for anything less than what God said for you to have. Nothing less. Stay in the position of prayer and press through. Press through even though you don't see the change. It may only be one little sign, but you're going to see the effects of that sign because of your faithfulness to do it. There's a fresh sound and a fresh rain. And if you're in need of some debts to be canceled, I said this before, the checks are in the mail. They are in the mail. The checks are in the mail. Debts are being canceled. Your testimony will be heard. And God will receive glory. But you don't quit. And you don't give up. You stay in the position of prayer.
Hi, guys. Today, this morning, I got my mail. And I got a check in the mail. I was so excited. And it was a big one. I had a check the IRS owed me for a long time. And I'm telling you, I gave up on it a long time ago. There was more paperwork and more red tape to get that money. I tried everything. And finally, 2 years ago, I said, forget it. This is never going to happen. Well, let me tell you, God gets red tape and gets rid of it. And out of nowhere, no warning, I go to my mailbox and I find a check in the mail. That's right.
Hallelujah. Checks are in the mail. Checks are in the mail. Checks are in the mail. It comes perpetually. Don't think you're just getting one check. That's a poverty mentality. God never runs out. Hey! And what the enemy thinks he's going to do by clogging the well, watch this. The Spirit of God goes forth and he unclogs the wells. And what the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn it for your good. For your good. For your good. Some of y'all need to hear this. What the enemy meant for evil, to try to take you out, try to slow you down, or try to stop you, God's going to use it for your good. For your good. How did you do it, God? How did you do it? Trust me, it's because I love you. I did it. It had nothing to do with your works. It had to do with your faith. It had to do with my name that's on it. He says, I'm doing this because I'm God. Here's the thing that you don't realize. Everybody knows a story about the prophet that goes and deals with the prophets of Baal. But we tend to forget about Obadiah. Obadiah was in Jezebel's house under the command of Ahab, and he was the one that saved 100 prophets, 50 in one cave, 50 in another, and he fed them during a time of a famine. But you don't read about Obadiah ever again. Don't you think it would be pretty significant that messengers of God were saved by 50s in a cave? There's an Obadiah in your life that is going to bring you substance that you need in the time of famine. We forget about the Obadiahs in the Bible that brought substance to you, men and women of God, in the time of famine. Where Ahab says, you go one direction and I go the other, and let's see if we can find any substance so that we don't have to kill our cattle or our horses. What you don't understand is Ahab and Jezebel had thousands and thousands of horses and cattle. So what I'm trying to tell you, there may be a famine in the land, but God always has a way to watch out for his people. And even if you're hidden in a cave, there's an Obadiah in your life. There's an Obadiah that brings you substance in time of famine. There's an Obadiah that brings to you to keep you amongst other people in a cave. Because you're not forgotten. You don't read about Obadiah ever again. His mission was complete. Complete. To sustain the prophets. And he hid them by 50s. 50 is the number of Jubilee. And it wasn't until the single prophet stayed in his position of vulnerability, nakedness, that he went and called forth rain. And he wiped out all the false worship of Baal and Jezebel, that you don't read about it ever again. The things that have controlled you in your past, that have brought you into a leanness and scarcity of resources, Obadiah is coming to you. Well, Pastor, that's sacrilegious. Only Jesus is my provider. If Jesus used a donkey, he's going to use an Obadiah in your life. If Jesus used a Judas to get him to the cross, he's going to use a Judas in your life. If he used a donkey to speak, he's going to use a donkey to speak to you. Don't lose sight of the fact that God is God all by himself. He swears by no one. He's not a man that shall lie, nor a God that shall repent. He's going to make a way. It's going to make a way. In the midst of where you feel there is no way. Let me remind you, when the Israelites were facing the Red Sea and the army of Pharaoh was chasing them, God made a way. You ain't going to drown. You're going to cross over in dry land. And you will see your enemies perish before your eyes. What the enemy meant for evil, God's going to use for your good. I told you last week, did you get a gut check? Have you had a gut check? That's only telling you you're about ready to break through something. You're about ready to break through something. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. I want you to slip up your hand. Say, I want a relationship with Jesus for real. Slip up your hand. There you go. There you go. There you go. Come on. Come on. If you really want to know Jesus like that, the Bible tells me to just believe in your heart. Nobody can judge whether or not you truly do. Only God knows. Only God knows. It's time to let God in, okay? Let Jesus reign supreme in your life. Let him help you through. Let him part the Red Sea for you. And let him speak to your mountain. And it shall never be seen ever again. Let Jesus be the one that brings to you the love of the Father unto you, so that you can experience the love of Jesus Christ in your life. I want everybody to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me. You bore all my sickness, all my disease. By your stripes, I am healed. And by the shed blood of the Lamb, my sins are forgiven. Past, present, and future. And because I believe,
that you died and was buried, but on the third day you resurrected and now sit at the right hand of the Father, and you are truly the Son of God. Now I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I am saved for eternity. Thank Him in your own words. Thank Him in your own words. Thank Him for what He's already done. Thank Him for what He did for your yesterdays. Thank Him that you're not the same person of earlier today. Thank Him that everything that has hindered you is no longer before you. You serve a risen King. And because He is King, you are also a child of a King. And all the benefits of the kingdom are yours. Father, I thank you for your precious children, Lord. But most of all, thank you for your precious Spirit, God. For the Spirit of the living God is amongst us here today. And I thank you that your word says when two or three are gathered, that in your name, you are in the midst. And I thank you that the presence of the precious, sweet Jesus, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, is here with us tonight. Father, I just thank you right now as you did. Thank you, Jesus. I heard that. Whoo, Jesus. Hallelujah. As you did prophetically, those that were held in captivity for over 10 years were found and released. I thank you for those precious children, Lord. And what the enemy meant for evil, you'll turn it for their good. And God, I just thank you right now that there will not be any ill residue effect in their life. That there will not be any damage in their psyche or their spirit or their soul. But we pray that the Spirit of the living God touches them and brings healing, emotional scars, physical scars. And Father God, I thank you. I thank you right now for the presence of the living God to be with them, to bring hope, restoration, and healing to the families. Father, I just thank you right now for your Spirit of God to go forth now. I send forth this word into the families right now that they receive your presence, God. They receive the peace and the joy and the love. And Lord, I just thank you that the Father God, my God, unmerited favor of God be all over them. Just all over them. Let doors just open, wide open for them, God. Let people just give into their life. Give into their life. Let them get into a new home, a new vehicle. Father, I thank you that they will go into houses they didn't build, cars that they didn't pay for, that they will have land just given to them, God. Because this is a mark that you have drawn a line in the sand. No more will my people be under bondage. Father, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you, God. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. That it will restore hope to those that are missing loved ones today. Yes, and asking for closure. Reinstill hope back into their life, Father. God, I just thank you right now. I thank you in advance, God. That every person that has abducted someone, that they feel the presence of God and the conviction of the Holy Spirit to release these children right now in Jesus' mighty name. Let there be, like it was in the time of Pharaoh and the Israelites, let there be a mass exodus out of bondage. Father, I just thank you that the people will come home. I thank you that those that were in bondage, Lord, will be loosed and set free, God, out of the bands of wickedness, Father God. They shall be loosed by the presence of the living God. Father, I just thank you in advance for what you're doing. And I give you praise and honor and glory to your name in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn the backlights on, Melissa, please. And then if you guys can hand out the envelopes. Man, I felt that so strong. I just saw their faces real quick. Woo-hoo. Keep playing. Keep playing. Just keep playing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Celebrate, guys. Just celebrate. Shifting and changes shifting and changes. Checks in the mail. Checks in the mail. It ain't stopping. It ain't stopping. Checks in the mail. Oh, with interest. That's right. High interest, too. Get paid. Get paid. God knows how to do it. He does it well. He does it well. It was interesting how Kathy says she just forgot about it. And here it came. Sometimes we just got to forget about it. Sometimes we just got to let it go. And when you let it go, God takes over. In other words, when you move out of the way, God steps in. He just let it go. He forget about it. And he just does it. Just does it. Amen. On your envelopes, I want you to write checks in the mail. Checks in the mail. And then on the backside, real big, said, I'm birthing my promise. I'm birthing my promise. Hallelujah. Say, Pastor, I wrote all over it already. Just write real big. Don't matter. Just write real big. Birthing my promise. Beautiful thing about Elijah, he never saw death. Never saw death. God sent him a blazing limo to him. Chariots awaited him because he knew how to be naked before people. He knew how to pray through, and he learned how to hear God. He says, you will not see death. You will not taste death. Come home with me. But before he left, if you just watch me before I go, you can have the double portion. Well, well, well. Sometimes we need an open diet. Ooh, thank you. Y'all gonna make me preach. Elijah was being sustained at a brook. But Elijah then slayed all the prophets at another brook. Some seasons of your life are to prep you for the battle that is going to take place further down the road. I don't like it, but it's true. Yes, 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 yes. Servant, worshiper. Amen. Servant of the Lord. A servant's going to come serve you. Ooh. I'm going to do a message on you got served. I'm going to do a message on you got served. You got served. I have some breakdancers in here. Get Joy doing a breakdance up here, Joy. All right, all right. Hallelujah. You got served. You got served. I'm going to be at a brook, be fed by ravens. And then later on in life, I'm going to be at another brook, and I'm going to slay the false worshipers and the false prophets of God, of Baal. Sometimes it's just a setup to where you're going. You don't see it then, but you'll see it later. We don't always know. We don't always know. The journey is discovered because the journey itself sometimes feels like the destiny. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someday I'll be able to preach on a Wednesday. I don't know what's going on. But if it's prophetic declarations, then so be it. If we keep hearing praise reports of manifestation, then so be it. We're just going to see what's going to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Envelope's ready. Father, I thank you. The shifting and the moving of the Spirit, for we hear a sound. We hear a sound that precedes the breakthrough. We hear a sound of rain that washes away everything that has been placed on us by the enemy. Send your rain. Send your rain. Father, I thank you for the Obadiahs in our life. I thank you, Lord, that you have sent your messengers to provide for us. We're not a people that are being fed by ravens. We're a people, Lord, that are being fed the manna from heaven because you have given it to your people. But we're not in a wilderness no more, God. We're in the promised land. And we thank you, Father, that you've given us the fat of the land, the increase of the land. And you've given us houses we didn't build, vineyards that we didn't plant. And God, I just thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Receive this as a wave offering, God, unto you. As we bring it unto you, Lord, we just thank you that you receive it with a pleasant aroma as worship to you. Because we give it with a cheerful heart and a willing heart. As we release into the kingdom, God, you release back to us a hundredfold return. Whether finances or whatever money cannot buy, you will do. Father, we thank you in advance in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Before you come and serve the Lord, this Sunday, Mother's Day Sunday, is Crazy Hat Sunday. All right, I want you to wear some crazy hats. Tasteful, though, tasteful. I don't want you to have all this kind of weird stuff on there that has slogans that we got to put tape over. Crazy Hat Sunday, okay? Come in, let's have some fun. We have some skits are going to be done. Some things I tell people, I don't want to know, just do it. Just do it. Because I believe God wants for us to celebrate our mamas. Our mamas. Amen. Hallelujah. You may come and serve the Lord. We'll see you on Sunday. God bless you. We love you. Amen.